Both nights, both times after the Megillah reading, both at night as well as the day, Minhag Yisrael is to sing Shoshanas Yaakov. Let's take a look at this tefillah, at this composition. Shoshanat Yaakov Salah V'Samecha, the rose of Jacob was cheerful and glad. Birotam Yachad Chela Mordechai, when they jointly saw Mordechai robed in royal blue. Chuatam Haisa Lanetzach, you have been their eternal salvation. V'tikvatam Bechol Dor V'Dor, and their hope throughout generations. Lahodia, to make known, Shekol Kovecha Lo Yevoshu, that all who hope in you will not be ashamed. V'lo Yichalmu Lanetzach Kol Achosim Bach, nor ever will be humiliated those taking refuge in you. Arur Haman curses Haman Asher Bikesh La'abdi, who try to destroy us. Baruch Mordechai, you Yehudi, Mordechai the Jew is blessed. Arura Zeresh, Haman's wife is cursed. Eshet Mafchidi, Brucha Esther Ba'adi, and Esther is to be blessed. V'gam Charvona Zachur Latov, and Charvona too should be remembered for the good. Obviously, if this is what we say after the Megillah reading, in some way this encapsulates what the Megillah is about. It emphasizes what the message of the Megillah is about, and really what the message of Purim is about. So I'd like to try to examine just the first half of Shoshanas Yaakov. Obviously, there's a lot to say in all of this, but to do the whole thing in one shiur is really impossible. So we'll do just the beginning of Shoshanas Yaakov, and Mirtz Hashem will leave the Arur Haman and the end for another time. A lot of questions to be raised. First and foremost, it's recited after both Megillah readings, which in itself is interesting. Why do we read the Megillah both at day and at night? All the other mitzvahs of Purim are only done during the day. Matos of Yoni, Mishneh, Mishloach Manot. Why is Megillah the exception where you have it drinking also both by the day and the night? Drinking is the day, my friends, not the day and the night. And further, if you take a look at other of the mitzvos around the holidays, whether it's the blowing of the shofar, of lulav and esrog, it's only done one time. We don't blow shofar at night and the day. We don't take lulav and esrog in the night and the day. What is it about Megillah that we read it both at night and the day? That's the first question. Now let's take a look at Shoshanas Yaakov. Shoshanas Yaakov Sahalo V'Tzamecha. Why is Klai Yisrael compared to a Shoshana, to a rose? What is the connection between the two? And further, the end of three, why do we have Madua Ba'apizmon B'Yachais LeYaakov Davkov Lo Yisrael? Would it make not more sense? This is the salvation. It should be Shoshanas Yisrael Sahalav Samecha. Why specifically Yaakov? Next phrase, Sahalav Samecha. What brought this joy? Shoshanas Yaakov, somehow the rose of Jacob was joyful. What was the reason for this joy? So it seemed from this pismon, Biroz Tam Yachat Chela Mordechai, that when they saw together the blue of Mordechai, that's what made them happy. Well, what is it about the blue of Mordechai that made them happy? What is the blue of Mordechai? What is the Chelet of Mordechai? We need to understand that. Is it that Mordechai went out, Belevush Malchut, Chelet Vachur, in source number 3, Vateret Zahav, Gdolav, Tachrich, Budvar Gaman, that Chelet was one of the colors of the clothing that Mordechai went out when he became the Mishneh Lamelech? If that's the case, then why only mention one color? And if you hold, like the Gra that's referring to the Chelet and the Tzitzis, then why not just mention the Tzitzis? What is the idea of the Chelet? Bir'osam Yachat, when they all saw together. What are they seeing together? It should be Bir'osam Chelet Mordechai. The word Yachat, together, is totally extraneous. Further, Chuatam Ha'isa LaNetzach, the salvation is eternal. V'tikvatam, and the hope, Bechol Dor V'Dor. What's the difference between LaNetzach and Dor V'Dor? They both mean eternity. Lahodia, to say, to whom is this said? What is being said? Shekol kovecha lo yevoshu. Why would we think there would be busha? Why would we think that there would be embarrassment? V'lo yichalmu lanetzach kol achosim bach. Once again, a repetition. So we take a look at the Shoshanas Yaakov in a more of a analytical way. We see that this whole pismon is fraught with questions. And we need to understand what this is about. I will make mention that the Sefer Tamei Minhagim notes, why do we say Shoshanas Yaakov? What's the source? The Megillah tells the story of the salvation of the Jewish people from the hands of Haman. This is inside Purim, brings this Rabbi Strickloff. The Torah hints that many years before, Yaakov Avinu prayed for the Purim salvation. When he was about to meet his brother Esav, he said, which was Haman's progenitor, Yaakov prayed, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav, Hatzileni na miyad, please save me from my brother, spells out the name Haman. That Yaakov Avinu was davening for his great-great-great-grandchildren to be saved from Haman. So therefore, we sing Shoshanas Yaakov after reading it to rejoice over the fact that Yaakov Tfilah was met with success at our salvation. I hear it. We have to understand it a little bit further. And again, this whole idea between Yaakov and Esav and Haman and Mordechai, we have spoken about in years past. We're not going down that road today. Let's try to understand what the Shoshanah is about on two levels, and based on that, be able to try to answer all of our questions and from a different point of view on each level, and then ultimately we'll come off away with really almost the same upshot from both levels, however, looking at it from a different angle. V'nireh shemashin ikrei Knesset Yisrael, Chazon l'moed, Rav Cohen, B'tshuas Purim Shoshana, hi melashon hakatu b'shir ha-shirim. This is based on the Medrash in Shir ha-shirim of Kishoshona ben ha-chochim. Klai Yisrael are compared to a Shoshana, a rose among the thorns. And here the Medrash says, what is special about the rose? Ma Shoshana zushi notna ben ha-chochim. The rose is among the thorns and is blown in many different directions and is stuck by the thorns from many different directions. But here's the key. Afa pikein liba mechuvan lamala. Nevertheless, the rose goes upward. The rose is focused on growth, on having that upright position. Kach Yisrael. Likewise, Klai Yisrael. Albeit we are being destroyed from left and from the right, nevertheless, liba mechuvan klape avim shma shamayim. Shenemar enei tamid el Hashem. My eyes are continuously toward Hashem. And this is Klai Yisrael. Just like the rose is upward, Klai Yisrael's heart is always upward toward Hashem. What does this mean? So Chazon HaMoed develops this. And he says that what we're talking about here is we're talking about Knesset Yisrael begalut na'aga kishoshana shelibah l'shamayim. That Klai Yisrael are their heart, which was continuously connected to Hashem. B'tbatcha v'kifta v'hitpala l'Hashem. Klai Yisrael continuously had bitachon, had faith, had yearning. V'hitpala l'Hashem. And davened to Hashem. And was from this yearning that they were able to be redeemed. And indeed, as we've seen over the past years, and we'll remind ourselves of this, because this is really a major theme of Purim that needs to remind it each and every year, that really the bedrock of what Purim is about, what the individuals in the Purim story did in order to be redeemed, was this idea of mechuvan lamala, that their hearts are focused upward, that Klai Yisrael daven. They understood that they were in a difficult situation. They yearned. They had kivui, they had the yearning, the desire to be redeemed, and they expressed that through their davening. We take a look at the Medrash Shochar Tov on the Kapitel Kaf Beis, Lam Natseach Elayela Tashachar, which Chazal say was said by Esther Amalka when she went in to meet the king. Becha batchu avoteinu batchu v'tifalteimo. This is what we're talking about. Our forefathers had faith in you. This is Mordechai and Esther. Elecha zaku v'nimlatu. They cried out to you. Divrei tzamos v'zakatam. They cried out to Hashem, and they were answered. Indeed, how is Mordechai described in the Sforim? He's connected with the idea of tefillah. We know that Mordechai is from the concept of mor dror. Maradichia, one of the spices that was in the Ketoret, in the incense. And the whole idea of the smell in the Beis HaMikdash was Ishei Reach Nichoach LaHashem. There should be a pleasing smell to Hashem, which is the aspect of tefillah. Be able to daven to Hashem. Be able to be received favorably by Hashem. And we know that when we take a look at Mordechai's name, the Gemara tells us in Source 7 that Mordechai is Ben Yair, She'ire Neim Shal Yisrael, that he enlightened the eyes of the Jewish people with davening. Shimi, Sheshamal Tfilato, that Hashem heard his tefillah. Kish, that he was able to knock through his speech on the doors of Shemayim to be listened to. We understand when the Gemara asks us the Grav, where is Mordechai hinted? Mordechai min HaTorah minayin. Where is Mordechai hinted at? And they answer, it's in one of the spices. What the Grav explains is what the Gemara is really asking is, from where is the koach of Mordechai? What makes Mordechai so unique and so outstanding? Shekocha hu koach ha-tfilah. This is the koach of tefillah. And you see this by Mordechai, where Mordechai, when he hears about the decree, he immediately turns into Vayubash Sak Va'efer. He puts on sackcloth and ashes, Vayizak Za'aka Gedolo Mara, and he screams out a great scream. He saw in Ruach HaKodesh about this Gzeirah. The first recourse was not about, let's do political means, let's figure out this, let's figure out that. The first thing he turned to was tefillah, was bakasha, was za'aka, was turning to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And even when, notes the Gra, even when he does use political means, i.e. through Esther, he refuses to change his clothes, which is symbolic of the fact that he never leaves this stance of tefillah even for a minute. Even after Haman leads Mordechai through the street, it says he returns to the Shar HaMelech. He goes back into that same position he was in beforehand. He never for a moment thinks, well, now the Yeshua's starting, I can take a little bit of break from crying and sackcloth and tefillah. He never takes a break. He's not, you know, easily convinced that just because there's a little bit ray of hope, he can now retire from the tefillah. No! Nothing of the sort. And we know the Ber HaChaim brings down in Source 8 the very famous Medrash in Esther Rabbah that Be'osa Shah, Eliyahu HaNavi, when there's this Gzeirah, Eliyahu HaNavi wakes up the Avos and they say, do you know what's transpiring downstairs? Do you know that the Klai Yisrael are being destroyed? And they ask what happened, Eliyahu HaNavi tells them, and they said, if Klai Yisrael sinned, there's not much we can do, and obviously this Medrash has to be understood. And then he went to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, is there a tzaddik, is there a gadol in this generation, who he can daven from down here, and there, and I'll daven from up here? And to which Eliyahu HaNavi says, yes, there is a tzaddik called Mordechai HaTzaddik. Kedei Amar Lo Lech V'Hodiyo. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Eliyahu HaNavi, go tell him, Kedei Sheyamod Hu, in the bracket, in the asterisks in 8, Kedei Sheyamod Hu Misham B'Tfilah, let him stand there in davening, V'ani Mikan U'Nevakesh Rachamim Aleihem Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we will daven in front of Hashem. And the Kedushas Levi adds on this in source number 9, Sheyidei Tfilas Mordechai Ditpatulta HaGzeira. It was because of Mordechai's davening that the Gzeira was changed. And this is what we have to understand. The power. V'zeh l'meidi min ha-megillah. D'gam Gzeira sh'nichtava v'nichtama b'tabar ha-melech. Even a decree which was signed and sealed with the signet of the king, you're able to rip up and be mevatel through. Za'aka, za'aka, amiti me'omek ha-leib. This is the message of Purim. The message of Purim, the bottom line message is that nothing is signed and sealed. The koach of tefillah, the koach of tshuva, and the koach of yearning, the power of yearning for salvation, has a tremendous power. And hence, because this is such a fundamental theme, we don't even begin our tefillah on Purim. We begin it the day before. La'ora Mevuar says the Chazon L'Moed in Source 10, Shekoach HaTfilah Yisod Shuas Purim. The whole salvation of Purim is predicated on davening. We understand what the Rosh says, U'mashenagu L'itanot B'shloshachzah Be'adar V'yom Shlifnei Purim. We already begin the day before Purim by fasting. And this is the time that Klal Yisrael gathered together to Amod Al Nafshah B'Milchama, to put their lives on the line in war. And they were davening to Hashem, that Hashem should have rachamim on them. And this is where the miracle comes from, that Klal Yisrael davened from the moment of the Gzeirah, when they found out about it, until the moment they're fighting this war. They're in a constant state of prayer. With this, we can appreciate in source number 11, what the Kavah Yashar points out. There's a school on Tanis Esther to daven. And anyone who needs rachamim for any single thing, which my friends mean it's all of us, should tzarich litpalel, take a few minutes on Tanis Esther. Say Kapitel Kaf Beis, chapter 22. It's like Kapitel Vayelet HaShachar. Say the whole Kapitel. And then, V'acharkach Yishpoch Sticho Lifnei Hashem. And then pour out your heart in front of Hashem. And ask for your request and say it should be the Neschus of Mordechai and Esther, that Hashem listened to them and opened up the Sharei Rachamim, the gates of mercy. Likewise, Hashem should accept our tefillos, the Rachamim, with mercy. And indeed, the Yom Tanis Esther, Ki Yom HaPurim, Hem Yemei Ratzon V'Ava, Tanis Esther as well as Purim are times of love, times of favor. So it's a gewaltic time to daven. When we understand that this is one of the major motifs of Purim, is tefillah, we can appreciate what we've seen before. That when the Rambam is talking about what was the basis for instituting the mitzvah, Mikra Megillah, reading the Megillah by the rabbis, he notes in source 12, the prophets, together with the Beis Din, instituted and commanded to read the Megillah in its time in order to mention the praises of the Holy One, blessed be He, and the salvation that He wrought for us, and that He was close to our entries, in order to bless and praise Him, and in order to make known to future generations the veracity of that which He promised us in the Torah. For which great nation has a God who is close to it, as is Hashem our God? Bechol Kareinu Alav, whenever we call to Him. In other words, according to the Rambam, a primary role of the institution of Purim, if not the primary role, is to establish and reinforce the principle laid down in the Torah that Hashem is close to Jewish people when they call out to Him in prayer. Moreover, the prayers of Jewish people at the time are commemorated by us in our Purim observance every year. As we know, the Megillah is read twice, once at night and once during the day. However, this actually makes Mitzvah Megillah reading unlike all other Mitzvahs of Purim. Why is it both? It's based on the Pasuk in Tehillim. Elokai ekra yomam. My God, I call out to you and you do not answer. And in the night, I am not silent. Elokai ekra yomam velo saneh. Velaila velo dunyali. Why does this verse have to do with reading Megillah at night? Or with Purim at all for that matter? Rashi explains that the verse refers to the fact that the Jewish people were crying out to Hashem day and night to save them from Hashem's decree. And therefore, to commemorate the prayers of the people at that time, we read the Megillah, both at day and the night. And the Megillah is reminding us, Shekol Kovecha Lo Yevoshu. This is the idea of the Megillah. This is the upshot of the Megillah, that we can always turn to Hashem, and those who yearn and desire will never be turned away, never be embarrassed. Hashem responds to our tefillah. This is the message of Shoshanas Yaakov. Indeed, I will point out that Rav Biderman of Be'er HaChaim brings down, and this is like, in my mind, one of the most gewaltic ideas. He says in a footnote, Shuvah B'Sifrei Kodesh, that the lights that come down on Yom Kippur, the lights means the energy, the Kedusha, at the time of Keter. Keter is the Sfardi, this Nusach Sfard Kedusha. It's like, this is it. Keter Yinu Lecham, you know, the Malachim and Klal Yisrael, Amcha Yisrael Kvutzei Mata, Yachad Kulam, this is it. The moment of Keter on Yom Kippur, this is like the highlight. That those lights, those energy, mitgalim bechol sha'ot hayimama diyom ha'purim, that energy is found every single moment on Purim. And therefore we find v'nimsah sh'v'yom gadol v'kadosh zeh yesh b'yad kol echad l'vakesh min ha'melech k'chol asher yachvot. Daven for whatever you need, that you should be able to reach these levels of la'asid level, to be able to move into much higher degrees and dimensions. Kol ha'poshet yad nonim lo, whoever asks for a handout is given, is acknowledged. This is the power of what Purim is about. Purim is a time of tefillah. And as he goes on in this footnote, he says, this is why the Chazal, understanding the power of the day, makes it so easy to get distracted. We have to take care of Mishloach Manos this year on Friday. Bichlal, it is like, whoa, right? It's Erev Shabbos, and when you have a Suda, and COVID on top of all of this, like, who has time to even think? Well, you know what, my friends, I think because it's so stressful, and because it may be a little bit more low-key this year, this is Dafka, the time to daven. And the Yerushalayim, who has a Purim Meshulash, wow, so many opportunities of tefillah. This is the year that we need more than any, the sanctity of tefillah. So now that we've understood that the Shoshanas Yaakov, all we've got in this one word, my friends, so far, is that the Shoshanah is about tefillah. It's about connection to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we've hinted at Shekol Kovecha Lo Yevoshu, that idea of the Shoshanah, having that steadfast determination to daven, this will enable us not to be humiliated and Hashem will respond. How do we understand the Tchelet Mordechai, the Yachad? Let's try to understand the Tzal of the Samecha. Let's try to understand this a little bit deeper. So the Ohel Moshe brings down from the Avnei Nezer in source number 16 in Bet. He says, HaPeirushu ki Shoshanah hi raka. One of the dimensions of a rose is that it's very fragile, it's very soft. Lamnatzeach al Shoshanim says Rashi there in the Kapitel Memhei, Al Tamidei Chachamim Shem Rakim k'Shoshanah. It's like the scholars who are very soft, whatever that means in that context. The challenge is that anything soft can be able to change. And that's why Shoshanah comes from the language of Shinui. And this is what Klai Yisrael were afraid about. Here, they re-accepted the Torah, Me'ava Taneis, from the love of the miracle. Adayin Nijaru Pein Mechamat Rakut Libam. But they were afraid maybe they're compared to Shoshanah, who's soft inside. Maybe that softness inside is going to have an effect, and they're not going to be able to maintain that level of commitment that they had of Kimu v'Kiblu, and that level of that pitch of yearning toward Hashem. They won't be able to keep up with it. Therefore, when they saw Tchelet Mordechai, and the Tchelet is something that never changes. This is why the Tchelet, this blue color, has the dafka specifically come from the chilazon. The chilazon is something that when it dies, it's you've cast a die, and that's going to be the color. And this is the quality of the children of Rachel, that Yosef HaTzadik is tempted each and every day, and he doesn't listen. Mordechai is tempted each and every day, and he doesn't listen to Haman. There's a certain quality that they have, that there is the steadfastness. And when Klal Yisrael saw the Tchelet Mordechai, when they saw the idea that the Tchelet remains forever, and Mordechai represents that model of that steadfastness, then they're able to have the Tzal of Tzamecha, then they're able to have the rejoicing, knowing that this holiday is going to be La Netzach, it's going to be for eternity, because we have, albeit we're the Shoshanah, but nevertheless, we have that quality of the strength of spirit that we can hold on to. This idea of what the Tchelet represents, the steadfastness, this understanding so clearly that there is going to maintain this level, this pitch of closeness to Hashem, is echoed a little bit differently in Rav Mizrachi's Sefer on Birkas Mordechai, where he says in source number 17, that you have, again, two options when we say that they saw the Tchelet Mordechai. Was it the blue clothes that he wore on the horse when he went out as the Mishneh LeMelech, as the second to the king? Or is it the blue strand of thread that is that tzitzitzes. So he says, "Aval Klal Yisrael yadua yadu el nachon lo alatchilat hazod yirachlu lo bimenu itpalu." The Dafka, the moment Nara holds there, he skilu l'rov v'lavchim be'emet hanitzchit, b'tziba amitit l'chol atshua hazod halohi Mordechai Hatzadik. Klal Yisrael sees Mordechai. And the natural feeling that Klal Yisrael could have had, and maybe should have had, is, wow, look at Mordechai in 18, the diplomat. Look at Mordechai, who's so successful. Look at Mordechai, who is now the new politician. Look at Mordechai from that external point of view of look where he has reached. Look what position he's in. Look at what political gains we're going to have. And that would have been a logical choice for Klal Yisrael to feel and to see. However, Klal Yisrael don't look this way. Dafka ba'osasha, when Mordechai is riding on the horse, this is the political moment. Specifically at that moment, ra'u kulam ke'echad, ish lo yatsa min haklal. Yachad, together, we have this aspect of the Shoshanas Yaakov. Birotam yachad tchela Mordechai. What's the yachad? It was all in one. It was a unified vision. It was like Klal Yisrael at Mamad Har Sinai. Ish lo pikpek, there was no doubt by anybody. Ish lo he faced. Ish lo ra'arak min ha'safa v'lachutz. Everyone understood that the greatness of Mordechai was Mordechai HaTzadik, not Mordechai the politician. It's Mordechai with the tchelet of tzitzis. It's the Mordechai who is able to maintain the standard. And that he's wearing the clothes of the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. And this is why it's written this way. It's a tchelet Mordechai to show us the greatness of Klal Yisrael. If it was just a tzitzit, then it's a no-brainer. Of course they're going to focus. But here they had a challenge. What tchelet are they going to look at? Are they going to look at the external blue? Or are they going to look at the internal blue? The blue that is connecting to the Ribono Shel Olam. And this is where Klal Yisrael reached a height. It reached an apex. And this is based on the idea of Dafka Yaakov. Shoshanas Yaakov. Why 19? Yaakov the Ishtam Yosef Olim. The Yaakov is the one who's committed to learning. Yaakov is the one who's the beginning, the process, being able to recognize that the core, before you can even get to Yisrael, the core of Yaakov is a core of commitment. Ikviyut, being able to follow through. And this is the quality that Klal Yisrael are focusing in on. They're focusing in on the Yaakov Ish Tam Yosef Olim. He never leaves the tent of the Beis Medrash. Mordechai HaTzadik remains steadfast in what he believes in. This quality is the quality that Klal Yisrael are picking up on, that the quality of connection to Hashem is not just going to be a temporary quality. It's going to be an eternal quality. It's going to be Tshuatam Hayisa LaNetzach. Their salvation is going to be forever. Because they understand that the Tchelet and the Mordechai and the Yaakov and all this represents is LaNetzach, is forever. If we just take this one step further, my friends, if we take this one step further, Rav David Cohen and Yemei Purim tries to understand what does this mean, Lohodia Shekol Kovecha Lo Yevoshu Volo Yichalmu LaNetzach Kol Chosim Bach. What is this idea of those who have faith in Hashem, those who yearn for Hashem, who hope in Hashem, will never be embarrassed? What is this about? So he says that there is a medrash in Shochar Tov, where the medrash says, Becha Batchu Avotenu Elu Mordechai. That was squiggly in 20. Our forefathers believed in you, that's Mordechai and Esther. Eilecha zaku v'nimlatu. They called out to you and were saved. Those were the divrei hatzomos v'zalkatam. These were the crying out and the fasting that Klal Yisrael did. V'lo voshu, and they were not embarrassed. This is referring to la'yehudim ha'isa'ora v'simcha, the Jews had light and gladness. What does light and gladness have in the fact that they weren't embarrassed? So he says, "Muvuar mi divrei Rasel shaya be'emet bishur haPurim gilui miuchad shavlo boshu." There's something very unique about the Purim story that there was no type of humiliation. And he explains that the difference about the Purim story is that the Purim story happened when Klal Yisrael took the initiative to daven and to turn to Hashem. And this is the challenge that Klal Yisrael had. Here they were in Golos. And it could very well easily have been that Klal Yisrael completely passive, Hashem after 70 years would have taken them out and brought them back to Eretz Yisrael. If that were the case, then it would be a bread of shame. It would be like Klal Yisrael didn't do anything, and here Hashem was just taking them out. And that shame would have caused them a certain amount of feeling angst and embarrassment. The beauty of the Purim story is, V'lamanu midivrei haramchal de chidush hamyuchad, in the asterisks in 21, de mikoach hakivui sheyesh liYisrael v'kadosh baruch hu. But rather, Klal Yisrael, albeit had challenges, there were sorrows, there were gzeros, there were decrees against us, they did not waver for a moment, and they yearned for Hashem to be able to save them. Haynu shelo yikablu et gula b'malach shel busha, dehaynu mitoch nema tekisufa. It wasn't that they were going to receive redemption in the way of bread of shame. Ella, rather, through the tzaros and through the challenges they had in Golos, they had a sipita liyeshua. They yearned for the salvation, and they accepted everything with love. As yikablu et gula b'zchut gamur. Then when Hashem redeemed them, it was based on their merit. And this is the idea, my friends. When Klal Yisrael show that they have merit, that they earn, so to speak, this redemption, that leads, says the Medrash Shochar Tov, to Lehudim Haita Or V'Simcha. What's the joy? The joy is we have earned this salvation. We have earned this redemption. We, through our tefillah, through our za'aka, through our screaming, through our believing, through our hoping, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered us. And it's very fascinating that this is one of the reasons why Purim will not be batel asilavo. Purim will be around in the future. Because unlike Pesach, whatever that may mean, where Pesach HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Yisrusa Dela'ila, an awakening from above. In this case, it was Yisrusa Dela'tata, an awakening from below. Klal Yisrael deserved this. Klal Yisrael worked at it. And therefore, it became part of a Klal Yisrael are about. And indeed, in 23, this is what we daven in our bracha. Ki b'shem kotshecha gadova narab atachnu. In your great name, Hashem, and in your awesomeness, we have faith, that was squiggly, nagila v'nismecha b'shuasecha, and therefore we're going to be able to rejoice and be happy with your salvation. Shemitoch ha'yishua sheba mikoach ha'bitachon b'shmo gadol. When you believe that salvation is going to come from Hashem, that's going to lead to shalom nevo shalom ve'ed. We will not be embarrassed forever. Nagila v'nismecha b'shuasecha. We're going to rejoice. The embarrassment happens when you're given something and you didn't really deserve it. You're a little bit shameful. I don't really deserve it. You're giving to me. I don't feel so comfortable taking it. But when you've worked hard at something and you really, you know, you earned it and you've asked for it and you've done things in order to get it, then when you get that gift, you're like, wow, I feel so good. I've worked hard at it. And now I received it. And there's no shame. And there's no embarrassment. And there's no, like, I don't feel like I deserve it. This is what the Purim story is about. Umata nired in 24. Dezoi kavanata paitan. Lachar shibir shichur Purim ba mishum shene hagu kishoshana shali ba l'shamayim. This is what the Shoshanas Yaakov is about. When Klal Yisrael were a Shoshana, they were one who turned their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they never gave up hope. Therefore, they have Salah v'Samecha. Therefore, they're going to have this rejoicing when they're able to focus on Birosam Yachat Chelos Mordechai. They have their priorities in order. They're able to see beyond the outer trappings and be able to see the spiritual motif that's going on in the day. They're able to tap into the spirituality of the moment. That joy leads to Tshuatam HaYisrael HaNetzach. Their salvation will be forever. Lohodia Shekol Kovecha Lo Yivoshu V'lo Yichalmu LaNetzach Kol HaChosim Bach. And this, my friends, is the message for us. Kimichu Azu in the asterisks in 24, Chazinan, from this salvation of Purim we learn, Shemisoch Yisrusa Lotata, when we have an awakening of below, of tzila and tshuva, of davening, of repentance, which is also part of Tanis Esther, zochim l'tshuva, then Hashem will redeem us. And this, my friends, we have to recognize that this is what we have to do in our galus. As the Maharal points out in 25, that one of the key aspects of Purim is tfila, because that's the bechina of Yaakov. Hakol Kol Yaakov. This is the voice of Yaakov. And that able to counteract the Yadayim Yidei Esav, the hands of Esav of Amalek. Shoshanas Yaakov. This is the Shoshanas of Yaakov. Hakol Kol Yaakov. This is what the first message of the Purim story is teaching us. To recap, Purim is about the Shoshanas Yaakov. It's the Kol Kol Yaakov, the voice of Yaakov, the voice of Torah, the voice of Klal Yisrael, complete dedication to Hashem. Birosam Yachat Tchelet Mordechai. They're able to see in the Tchelet Mordechai something that's going to last forever. That Tchelet, that Mordechai, that ability to be steadfast in their behavior. They're able to see the Tchelet Mordechai and they don't get duped by the outer, you know, trappings. They're able to see the tchelet of the tzitzis, which reminds them of the kisei hakavod, which reminds them that they understand that they have one heart to their Father in Heaven. And throughout the Megillah, this is the focus of Klal Yisrael, the focus of Mordechai and Esther. It's continuous tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the message for us is that when we have that same feeling of davening and yearning and hoping for Mashiach, that's going to lead us to Tzala v'Samecha. There's no greater joy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell us, Shekol Kovecha Lo Yevoshu. The Purim story has to be a model and a paradigm for our lives. We are living 2021, Tavshin Pei Aleph. We're living with anti-Semitism around us from all sides. Hatred from all sides. From whether we're living in Eretz Yisrael or we're living in Golos, there's so much hatred against the Jews. So much anti-Semitism against the Jews. And the Purim story teaches us that whenever you're in a difficult situation, both globally as well as individually, Shekol Kovecha Lo Yevoshu, if you yearn, if you desire, if you daven, if this is your focus, being able to understand that your life is about being an Eved Hashem, and this is the way you want to do this, your Tchelet Mordechai is Yachad, you have that totality of faith, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to respond in the positive. We have to yearn. We have to desire. We have to yearn for Mashiach. We have to yearn for salvation. We have to make this salvation something that we deserve, something that belongs to us. That's idea number one. Idea number two of what the Shoshana is about, if on the first level it's about that steadfastness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's another level of Shoshana. And I'd like to introduce it with a piece from the Al-Shech HaKadosh in the Shabbat Shuvah Haftarah of Hoshea Perek Yudalet. And we'll keep this as the backdrop, so to speak, and develop it, and then come back to this backdrop. The Pasuk tells us, Eyeh katal Yisrael yifrach kashoshana. It will be like dew to Israel, and they will blossom like the Shoshana, like the rose. And here the Al-Shech HaKadosh in Source 26 says, The tell, the do here, is a reference to Tchias HaMetim. That we know that by Har Sinai, when Klal Yisrael, by every Dibur, Parcha Nishmasam, they died, Hashem revived them with tell. This do is the imagery of tell Tchia, of do of resurrection. What does the idea of the do of resurrection have to do with the Shoshanah, with the rose? So he describes and he says that a rose has its petals all inward. And when water comes down on it, suddenly it opens up and you're able to smell how beautiful it is and you're seeing the beauty. And he says that's Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael oftentimes are very much caught up in themselves. However, if you're able to inspire them, you're able to see that there's really a lot of beauty there and they're connected. Right? Whatever happens, a Jew is a Jew. A Jew is always connected. This is the beauty of what Jews are about. This is the beauty of that the commitment that Klal Yisrael have. The rose represents that when you see it, you may just see something closed and wonder what's inside. But when you have the Talatriyah, when you have that dew of resurrection, when you have those moments of clarity, it opens up. And then you're able to see the full beauty of the Shoshanah. If that's the general backdrop, let's look specifically at what the Shoshanah is about. So here in source number 30, the O Moshe brings down the following. The Pasuk is Shoshanah ben Achochim, ken rayati ben Abanot, that just like a rose among the thorns, so too is my beloved among the women. What does this mean? So he says, Shoshana ben Achochim, a rose among the thorns, Hainu Knesset Yisrael, b'matzav shel Uma achad ben ha'umos. A rose among the thorns is symbolic of the Jew among all the nations. The Kivsacha ben Shivim Zevim, one little lamb among 70 wolves. And the Simcha of Shoshanas Yaakov, Sa'alav et Samecha, the Simcha of Purim, is the fact that Uma Achat Mitkayemet Ben Ha'umos, that we're able to survive. Shoshanas Yaakov, the Purim story is about Jewish salvation, that we have survived and we will continually survive. This is the imagery of Shoshanas Yaakov. It's the imagery of Galus. Going back to source 27, the Gros says, Hanesi behester panim, klamar shitzivev la so bederech hateva. Because it's a time of galus, it's a time of exile, notes the Gra that Hashem does everything this Megillah in a natural way. And that's why they ask, Esther mina Torah minayim, where is Esther found in the Torah, which means, how do we understand that a miracle happened here? And the answer is, albeit it's hester panim, albeit it is a time of concealment, but nevertheless, Va'anochi Astir Astir, I, Hashem, will be there in this Hester Panim. The whole idea of Purim is that Purim, without one name of Hashem mentioned in the Megillah, is a time of galus, it's a time of exile, it's a time of concealment. It's the mashal of the Gra that's very famous in 27 and 28, of a son of the king who angered his father, who was then sent to the forest, and the king sent his officers that anything that should potential danger that should come on his son, whether it's a lion or a bear or a person, these officers would protect the son. And ultimately the son realizes that this is too much coincidence that they're being saved over and over again, and that's the impetus for the son to come back to the father. Mevuar b'divrei ha'gra, the arrow in 28, Shema shenit yachadat, shuat purim hi bazeh, shaita kan Yeshua b'zman ha'galus. This is what the characterization of Purim is. It's about salvation in the time of galus. This is the Shoshanah ben Achochim, and now I can appreciate in 29 why it's Dafka Shoshanas Yaakov, because we know the Sfarim say there's a difference between Yaakov and Yisrael. Yisrael is when Klal Yisrael are doing the will of Hashem, Yaakov is when we are not doing the will of Hashem, when we're in exile, when we're struggling. Shoshanas Yaakov, Purim is teaching us when we finish the Megillah, we then are able to declare Shoshanas Yaakov. We are Shoshana, we are a little lamb among all the wolves. We are a little flower among all the thorns. We are in the state of Yaakov, we're in the state of Golos. We have been in this state for thousands of years of Shoshanas Yaakov. However, my friends, having said that, they're still able to have Sal of a Samecha, they're still able to have joy. What brings us the joy? Birosam Yachat Chelet Mordechai, when they see all together the thread of Mordechai, this blue string. What's the Chelet Mordechai? So both the Chazon L'Moed as well as Moda Lubina echo this idea. And that is in the asterisks. In 31. V'zeu kavanat ha-paitan. Matai Shoshanat Yaakov sahalo v'tzemecha. When is Shoshanat Yaakov rejoiceful? Be'rosam yachat. U'bistarev kol ha-pratim. Ra'u echa kadosh baruch hu mesuvav. Mesuvav ha-kol. V'ze yivuar madua yizkir ha-paitan et chela Mordechai. Hainu de chela shebetzitzis. We know the chela of the tzitzit is that which is wrapped around the white strings. It's all embracing. Bir osam yachad, when you're able to see the totality of the picture, when you're able to see almost the thread that goes through the whole story, then you're able to understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, like the king watching his son, and that leads to Salav Samecha. Let's take a look. V'efshar im kein zeil nusach Moda Lubina 32 ha'payat v'rotam yachat chela Mordechai yachat to'un biur. What does yachat mean? So he says v'nir'e shitchit chumrit nir'im ha'dvarim k'mishtal shalim b'derech ha'teva. The Megillah happens over a 12-year period. It's not like, you know, in the 40 minutes you read it in shul, particularly if you read it in a Chabad shul that only bangs Haman on the, not all 50 times, whatever amount, but only on the Hamans with titles, Haman HaGagi, Haman Ben Amdasa, very few Hamans. It's a great Megillah reading. Anyway, it doesn't take place that quickly. No. Rather, Omnam, B'mabat Amok Yoter, Uburiya, Choderet, Ro'im, He'ah, Shekol, Lishtal, Shalut, Mikasheret, Achat, Lachat, B'tzirah, Mufla'ah. If you're able to look at the Megillah, you see how it's all interconnected. Ech yikshura b'malachim shigratim klal v'klal v'chol zo kasher ro'im et kol tmonat v'dream b'chlaluta v'lo b'ofen shel perek perek. You can't look at the Megillah one chapter and then another chapter. You have to see the totality of the story. V'zehu lashon b'rosam yachat. What does Yachat mean? So on the first level, Yachat means when all the people together understood so clearly that this is a spiritual salvation. It's a spiritual greatness, not the physical greatness, not the political greatness. On this level, Berosam Yachat is not about the people, it's about the events. Berosam Yachat Tchela Mordechai, while on the first level it's literally Mordechai's clothing, here the Tchela Mordechai is the all-encompassing nature of the story that has to do with Mordechai and Esther. Ki yechida achat, az megalim et yesod ha-tchelet, shelucharahi hayam avo b'medhi kisei kavod. And then you're able to understand tchelet from the tachlit, the goal, as far as say, that everything's about, the kisei kavod, the blue reminds you of the sea reminds you of the sky of the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of glory. You realize that Tchelet Mordechai is that everything is happening because the Kadosh Baruch Hu has orchestrated it. That this is the Sitkus, the greatness of Mordechai, the Gadol Hador. He's bringing the people to a level of Tchelet, of the Tachlis, of the goal of being able to see the Kisei HaKavod, that Hashem is behind every single moment of the Megillah. With this, my friends, if we can appreciate this idea, that the Shoshanas Yaakov, the fact that Klal Yisrael are able to survive, the Yaakov, the Golos, that brings them the Tzahala v'Samecha, the joy, is that they're able to see the hand of Hashem, Yachad, the totality of the picture, the Tchelet, the Tachlet, that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating. This says the Birkas Mordechai Gevaldik idea. He says, if you take a look at the sitting around the question we asked, Chuatam hayita lanetzach. So if you look at the grammar, Chuatam means their salvation. Lanetzach means for eternity. The word that doesn't make sense here is hayita. Hayita means was. So I would think that Chuatam, their salvation, will be forever. That salvation will remain forever. A future tense. What is hayisa? Was forever. You have been their eternal salvation. Well, what does that exactly mean? So says the Birkas Mordechai the following. He says, Umahu etzem hamuvan shel hayita lanetzach v'yachetz l'tshuatam. Hatshua shera HaKadosh Baruch Hu mei Mordechai v'Esther nirata b'lio rak la'achar skirat hamagal. When we take a look at the salvation of Mordechai and Esther, you only see it in retrospect. When it's happening, you're not really quite sure why it's happening. Like, for example, when Esther was taken as one of these women, did you ever think that this is going to be the beginning of salvation? When Vashti is killed, do you think that this is part of a larger story? Who could have imagined that when Esther's taken 34 to the Beit HaMelech, that was going to be, that she was going to be the Esther HaMalka? And you see this throughout the Megillah. When things are happening, right, when Haman is being elevated, you think, oh my gosh. And here, when Bigthan and Teresh are being killed, and Esther says in the name of Mordechai, you would think that Mordechai should be immediately rewarded. And instead, Ahasuerus promotes Haman because Haman is the one who told him to have a beauty contest to get Esther, and Esther told him, so he elevating Haman. You look at the story, and while you're reading it, you're like scratching your head, and you're thinking, does this all make sense? And my friends, this is the way to read the Megillah, is the way to read the Megillah of our lives. Nimsa sherek lachar hayvechut vebenavochu hachar histori rak az hevinu kichuato shel Kadosh Baruch Hu kvar haya haita harbei harbei lifnei shur gashal besareinu. Even before we realized it, even before we acknowledged it, Hayita lanetzach, Hashem was there. Hatshua shemoshio tano barei ma'az ba'olam ha'netzach netzachim yavol b'malach shel hayisa. All of the salvation of Klal Yisrael are all going to happen through the hayisa, through it was. So when we're going through, wherever we're going through, whether it's COVID, whether it's anti-Semitism, whether it's the fourth election in Israel, we take a look at all of these facts and we're looking at it from, you know, the frontal view. And then we're wondering what's going on. The Purim story is telling us this is the key line. Chuasam, the salvation, Hayisa Lanetzach. In order to reach Lanetzach, in order to reach the final salvation, in order to understand that this is all a process of the ultimate Geula, you have to know one word, Hayisa. You have to know Yachad Chela Mordechai. You have to know that you can't just stand here and now like a reporter looking at a certain event. You have to see that everything that's happening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating, and the redemption really has already happened. It's all in place. We just haven't been privy to see it. And this, my friends, is the Tshuato, is the Tikvato, is the recognition. If you're able to hold on to the Hayisa, you're able to hold on to the concept of Yachad. This is the upshot of the Megillah. It's the upshot of the Megillah for life. Megillah and Esther is going to be around forever. This is the message for us. Don't get caught in the here and now. Recognize the Tchelet, Mordechai. Recognize there's a Tachlet. Recognize there's a goal here. Recognize that Hashem is having this blue thread interspersed, this Petil Tchelet, in throughout everything that is happening. That's how we have to understand. And understand, he says, the Chazon Lemoed in 36, that Arichos Hagolos Vatsaros Heim Lechaskenu Betfilo Bitachon. When I recognize that I have to daven, and I have to yearn, and I have to be able to see the hand of Hashem, then it gives me that Tzal Avetzamecha, that whatever we're going through, there's a larger picture here. There's no greater Simcha than the Simcha of Purim. It's off the charts, because the Simcha of Purim is the Simcha of being able to see when you can't see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. It's when you're in the world of Teva, in the world of Yaakov, that you're able to see Shayeshua Hi Netzach, 37. L'dorot Mishua Zu Yavinu Darko Et Hashkacha. We have to learn from here the Hashkacha, the way Hashem works. And this Yantif gives us that strength throughout Golos. L'netzach Netzachim, for all times. Let's summarize this, and then we'll take it 1.5 steps deeper. Says the Lekach Valibov, Piyot Shoshanas Yaakov, Rav Shor, Chuatam Hayitzel Netzach, Perush. Shegam Kasher Yegula Sida Dan Yekayam Yemei Purim. Even in the future, Purim will be around. V'zeh Nikrala Netzach, that's what it means forever. Umemela Totza'ah Mizeh, the result of the fact that Purim will be forever, He v'tikvatam b'chol dor v'dor. That's what's the difference. Purim will be around forever. At the same time, it gives us hope in every generation that even when generations come, sha'or ye'ganuz ma'ol, that's going to be very dark. V'yer nir'eh b'hester gadol. V'yer lanu she'la ech shayach sh'b'hester kazo yavol gula. How could in this darkness redemption come? No. The secret of Purim. You have to have hope. And you have to realize that from the light and energy of Purim that you have to have hope in the times of the greatest darkness. And that's what we have to take with us. From Purim, you have to believe in Mashiach. You have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating us one step further. And you have to have that level of hope. My friends, now let's go back to what we began with, what the Shoshana is about on this level. The Shoshana is about the model of the Tal and the Shoshana in Hosea. It's a model of Tchiyas HaMetim. It's a model that whatever happens to this Shoshana among all the thorns, Hashem is there to revive Klal Yisrael. And as we saw, it's all in the road. Sometimes it's all closed up. Sometimes history looks very difficult to understand. But when you have that ability to have the Tal, the Tchiyas HaMetim on the road, suddenly it opens up and we're able to see perspective. We're able to see beauty. That was a glimmer that we got, a glimpse in the Purim story of what it means the way Hashem orchestrates history. The Shoshana got opened up. And it was really a time of Tchiyas HaMetim on many levels. The revival of Klal Yisrael physically and the revival of Klal Yisrael spiritually, enabling us to hold on to this hope. Our time is running out, so very briefly, Rabbi Feiner in Purim Eternal brings the very, very strange Gemara. The Rabbah and Rav Zera were having the Purim feast together. They became intoxicated. Rabbah then arose and slaughtered Rav Zera. The next day, Rabbah prayed for mercy on Rav Zera's behalf and revived him. The following year, Rabbah asked Rav Zera, let Master come and we'll have the Purim feast together. Rav Zera answered, not every year does a miracle occur. Very strange Gemara. Did he actually kill him? Was he very sick? Is it an imagery? It could be all of these things. One of the ways to understand this is to understand that the Mishnah Berurah writes in the name of the Levush that the reason that the mitzvah is celebrated in Purim is a physical manner, food and drink, feasting, v'chule, is because our physical lives of the entire generation were miraculously spared. Consequently, celebration is one of a physical nature. But it goes much deeper than that. Rav Yaakov Melissa writes, that's noteworthy in describing the reaction to Haman's decree. The Megillah records that Mordechai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes. Similarly, The Megillah describes that there was great mourning among the Jews. Generally, mourning practices only commence when someone actually died. So therefore, he argues that this decree by Haman against the Jews was more than merely a human decree. It was actually a death sentence that was already signed and sealed in heaven. What happened in the Purim story, and this is what is being demonstrated by these rabbis, was Mamash Tchiasamaitim. That Klal Yisrael, this was not just a salvation, it was a form in 42 of Tchiyat HaMetim that Hashem performed on behalf of the entire Jewish nation. If the Jews who were delivered from slavery to freedom, a song should be sung, how much more so we should have the Megillah as a sign of thankfulness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hence in the day and at night. The story of Purim is a story of resurrection. It's a story of how Klal Yisrael can be all, you know, almost gone, and then suddenly the Talat Tchiya, they can be opened again. It's a story of Jewish history, that no matter what happens to the Jews, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to resurrect us, and this is all part of a larger plan. Let's end with Roy Bernstein, where he says, the Megillah reading as hallow. Unlike other festivals, this mitzvah takes place through the reading of the Megillah. As the commentaries point out, reciting Hallel in this form is most appropriate for the day of Purim, since the miracle it commemorates was concealed in nature. The Hallel itself is also not explicit, but concealed within the reading of the Megillah. The whole day is the Yachad. You don't even see it. It's a Shoshanah. It's all closed up. It's in the Megillah. That's the Hallel. That's the nature of the day. The nature of the day is concealment, hence the mask. The whole aspect of the day is concealment, that rose that has to be opened up, that has to be revealed. This is why we have it both in the night and the day. The concept of night in Jewish thought generally symbolizes a time of danger, while day symbolizes a time of salvation. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for both the times of day and the times of night. We lay the Megillah both times because we recognize that we see Hashem's hand both in the day and the night. Here's the punchline 46. In the future, there's going to be a day where we'll be able to say for everything, Hatova, Meitiv, everything is good. On that day, by Yom Ahuya, Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, Hashem will be one and His name will be one. This brings us to Purim, a day that's dedicated to appreciating Hashem's role in directing history and world events. As such, it's certainly appropriate for Purim to focus on the central idea that Hashem is constantly guiding events towards their ultimate purpose. Yachad, Tchelet Mordechai. However, it's more than that to that. For Purim is about appreciating those events, not from the vantage point of today, but from the vantage point of that day, of Lanetzach. That's the Purim, because Purim will be Lanetzach. We have previously mentioned that a prominent feature of the Purim story is Vanafohu, the rebounding effect. The miracle Purim gave us with hindsight with which to appreciate how these actions themselves are all part of the ultimate salvation, the Yachad. This brings us to a very profound idea. The miracle of Purim did not just lead to our deliverance. It also provided us in hindsight with a way of viewing our troubles in a fundamentally different way than we may have viewed them at the time. In this respect, the events of Purim were a model for the way which all world events will retrospectively be viewed in the future. The miracle of Purim and the festival that resulted from it were introduced to help us get through the exile. This involves not only providing us with lessons that are crucial to our national survival in the exile itself, which is the first level, daven, hope, but also with a vista from the point of view of the final redemption, to be able to see, looking back, right, the Shir HaMaalos, Az Hayinu Kechomim, then I'll be able to sing Az Yimaleh Yitzchok Pinu. There's nothing more empowering for the Jewish people in exile than providing them with a glimpse of what will look like once they have finally been redeemed. This vision of the present from the future is what we're looking to reconnect with each year in Purim. Purim is about entering into that final view, the Lanetzach, the Lador Vador. It's being able, Purim, you're living in a different dimension. It's a dimension of the future. However, there's one small problem. We're not in the future. Our current mindset does not allow us to identify every bad event as good, nor is it meant to until evil has been eradicated. So how do we live with a today mindset from the vantage point of tomorrow? enter Adaloyata, a mindset cannot impose itself on a mind that isn't there. By drinking on Purim and sending our das on a brief vacation, whether through drinking or through the mindset, we loosen the grip on our current frame of vision, allowing us to shift into feast-forward model. The mitzvah Adaloyata enables us to bridge the gap between the vision of today in our present condition and the vision of that day in the future. As such, for a brief while, this holy day, it's only one day, Purim Meshulash is something so unusual, it's almost like we're mamish tasting the future. We allow ourselves to touch a time when we cannot distinguish between the good that occurred to us from the accursed decree of Haman and that which came from the blessed deeds of Mordechai, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is running the show and it's beyond our purview. In other words, and here's the key, on Purim we look forward in order to look backward in order to move us forward. Shoshanas Yaakov, Sahala V'Samecha, that is the Simcha of Purim.